So it's going to be a great morning. This mic is sounding really weird, so is that okay for you guys? I'll keep going. Something strange going on with it. If you just want to flick up the first slide, we've got a bit of a one-off this morning in that it's not part of a series. We normally preach through a book. We've not got a series going on at the moment. And so really I should be preparing you for Christmas. And so the sort of things I should be saying is that, you know, we should just be relaxing during the season. We should think about people. We shouldn't gorge ourselves. And of course we should focus on Jesus. And so that's what I ought to be doing this morning. It's just not me, though. That's the problem. So I thought we could have two sermons today. And so this is the first one up here. Relax, people, don't gorge, think Jesus. Why don't you just turn to the person next to you and say those four things to them so they get the message, and then we can move on. Okay, you got that. You got that message, have you? I think that sermon's done, isn't it? That was excellent. I really enjoyed that sermon. Okay, let's get on with the next thing. The first morning that you've had two sermons in one. I've really wanted to spend this morning looking at growing in faith. And that's what I felt God has been stirring with me. Maybe God has called you to develop a successful business, to make money for the kingdom of God, to resource all that we want to do. Well, you need to grow in faith. Maybe you're working with the project or as part of Family Link, and you're working with these people, and you're thinking, God, your heart is breaking for them and nothing seems to be changing. Well, you need to grow in faith. Maybe you've had prophetic words over your life. God's spoken stuff over you and you think, well, why isn't it happening? What's going on? You need to grow in faith. Maybe your kids are struggling, maybe being bullied at school. Maybe they're developing character things that you're not, you know, maybe they're lazy or selfish and think, hang on, I haven't put this into them. Where's this coming from? Well, this morning, you need to grow in faith. Maybe it's you. Maybe it's something in your own life. And you think, I've been a Christian for 10 years and I've been battling this every single day since then. Well, this morning, you need to grow in faith. And maybe it's simply that you want to see your friends who are not believers saved. You want to you want to see people healed when you pray for them. Well, you need to grow in faith. Anyone here need to grow in faith? Oh, thank you. Oh, good. Not just me then. Otherwise, that would have been another quick sermon. I'd have to go on to something else. You know, that's what God's been speaking to me about. He's been saying, Simon, you need to grow in faith. And I've just been so stirred over the last few months with this whole issue. And it was funny, actually, prophetically, someone spoke over us as a church. They said, when you, as a church, give to the building fund, God is going to use it to grow your faith. And so I just want to put some meat on the bones of that, because I think it's a critical area for us as a church. We live in a secular, unbelieving, cynical world. You know, if you were to sum up what our society is like, one word, pick a few words, but one word I would pick would be cynicism. And it affects us, doesn't it? We've been brought up in cynicism, and yet God wants us to be a people who live and breathe and walk in faith, and so we need his help. So if you want to turn your Bible to Luke 1, verse 26... If you have it, we've got it up on the screen. Let me just pray real quickly for us. Lord, I pray that you would come and put something in us this morning. Deposit something in us, Lord. Let this not just be a little filler as we get ready for Christmas, God. I pray that spiritual growth would happen in us this morning. And I just come and ask you, Father, for it. I can't do it. We can't do it. But, Lord, we open our hearts to you and say, God, do it in us, Lord. We want to be a people of faith. We want to believe you for great things. We want to have the records of Bedford written down with our names in it, saying they were a people of faith, not they were cynical and unbelieving. And we say, God, come and put something in us. We ask it in your name. Amen. So Luke 1:26, and we'll read just this passage, and then we'll take some points out of it. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came and said to her, "Greetings, O favoured one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." What powerful words. Those words have changed history. And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I'm a virgin?" And the angel answered her. Notice she's not responding in unbelief. She's just questioning. How's it going to happen? How's it going to happen? And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. And the child will be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and she's in her 6th month, and she was before barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, I'm the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. And then skipping to verse 45, Mary visits her cousin Elizabeth, and Elizabeth says to her, blessed are you because you believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to you from the Lord. And there's 6 principles that I want to draw out of this passage this morning. 6 principles, foundations of faith, as I've been studying and reading and listening to preachers and trying to get around people of faith. These are some of the things I've observed. First is that there are different levels of faith. Different levels of faith. Mary was one who had great faith. She was one who, in the end, Elizabeth says to her, blessed are you who has believed. Mary was blessed because of her faith. She was able to do great things and go on to do one of the most incredible miracles that's ever been recorded because she was receptive to faith. Did God do it or did Mary do it? There was a partnership where God came supernaturally, but it was Mary's faith that enabled this to happen. If she'd have said to the angel, this isn't going to happen, there's no way, I think we'd have a very different story. I was reading this story in this book, which I picked up, a friend of mine recommended, called, weird title, Supernatural Power of a Transformed Mind, which is a bit weird. I wouldn't normally pick up a book like that. But anyway, he said it was a good book, and I've been reading it, and I read this story, and it really stuck out to me. I can't help but think of the experience of one of our most respected missionaries, Tracy. Recently, she was driving from South Africa to Mozambique when the small bus just ahead of her went out of control, rolled off the road, and crashed at a speed of 60 miles per hour. Passengers were thrown from the vehicle as it rolled. She and the other motorists stopped to assist and discovered a gruesome scene as they went from victim to victim. Many people had life-threatening injuries, traumatic head injuries, and were laying unconscious. One woman was clearly dead. She had no vital signs. Her head was facing her back, and she had one eye lying on her cheek. Our missionary took the bystanders and placed one of them by each of the injured person. She then instructed them, speak life in Jesus' name. When I look over at you, I want to see your lips moving. And move they did. Minutes later, as she was assessing the casualties, the woman standing by the dead passenger screamed. The dead woman had groaned, turned her head around, and begun to breathe again. To their amazement, the woman's vital signs were strong. Her misplaced eye was suddenly back in its socket. That caused the others to pray all the more earnestly for their patients. As you can imagine, within a short period of time, the unconscious victims had regained consciousness, and those with serious wounds stopped bleeding. Many injuries were healed, and people were spared who surely should have died. When I heard that story, my mind kept coming back to the people who stood by and prayed, even when the situation seemed hopeless. That's the kind of attitude we must have during times of uncertainty. What a story, eh? Amazing. And Rob Rufus was speaking at the Brighton Conference last year, and he said, just as a throwaway line, he said, there are 6 levels of faith, and it really stuck out to me, and I went back and listened to the tape, and I thought, 6 levels of faith, I've never heard that before, what are they? And he didn't actually say, he just kind of threw it out, so I've just been looking and searching, and I've found 5 different levels of faith. I need to go back and listen to the tape again and see if I can discern a 6th one, but there are 5 that, as I've seen, and they're just going to come up here. The first is that there's no faith. And Jesus rebuked the disciples when they were crossing the lake and the storm was coming in, and they woke Jesus up, and he wasn't too happy about being woken up because he thought they could have dealt with it. And he said, you guys have got no faith. And that was the first thing that we read about faith. And the second is weak faith. Paul talks in Romans 14. And he says, it's about the man who's got weak faith. And he says to the church, this is how you should respond to someone who has weak faith. And then the third level is little faith. And this is actually the largest category. If you look about faith, this phrase little faith comes up over and over again. And one example would be Peter, when he stepped out of the boat to walk on the water, with Jesus already on the water, Peter said, shall I come to you? If it's you, call me. And Jesus called him, and so he steps out. And then he starts to sink. And Jesus says to him, you of little faith, which makes me a little bit depressed. But anyway, and then there's strong faith. And Paul talks about Abraham in Romans 4, and it says he grew strong in his faith. And then finally, there is great faith. And there's two references where Jesus references people in the scriptures and he says, you have got great faith. And one of the examples is the centurion who comes to him and said, heal my servant. And Jesus says, okay, I'll come. And the centurion says, no, I'm not worthy to have you in my home. Just say the word and my servant will be healed. And Jesus steps back. He says, wow, great. Look, he says, look, everyone, great faith. This is it, great faith. So there's five different levels that I can discern. And this has been a real revelation to me, because I thought, well, where am I? I'm probably about a 2.5, I think. I'm a little better than weak faith, but when I try the walking on water thing, I slip over in the bath and it really hurts the shins. You see, there are different levels of faith, but you know what? A bigger revelation is this, and this is what's really struck me. We can change level. We can change level. We can move from where we are to somewhere greater. We don't have to stay at a 2.5 for the rest of our lives. And I think in my mind, I just would look at others and think, oh, well, they've got great faith. Well, no, we can all grow in faith. And I think if I was in that story with the truck, you know, my first instinct would be to lay down with the injured, you know, and pretend, you know, I would steer well clear of the woman with an eye hanging out. That is for sure, and a head on backwards. I would stay well away from her. I might go and minister to the guy with a broken finger. But I would go nowhere near her. But you know what? We don't have to stay where we are. We can change. We can change level. We can grow. And I shared a story a few weeks ago on Sunday where a guy had been healed, his whole family, of food intolerances. And the whole family was just healed miraculously. And then someone came up to me after I shared that story and they said, would you pray for me for my food intolerances? And my first thought, honestly, was, why do you have to go and ruin a good story by asking me to pray for you? So, and apparently my faith wasn't so much, my face didn't look very faith-filled either, as the person recounted to me afterwards. But I thought, okay, well, I better pray. So having just told the story. So I prayed. And I called over some other people who'd recently just had a healing. It was Elam and Lee, and we prayed together. And I thought, I'll bring some other people who've got some faith. And so we prayed for this person. And you know what? They came back a week later and they said, Simon, you won't believe it. They said, I'm not completely healed, but my life has dramatically changed since last week. She said, I can eat stuff I never thought I could eat before. She said, my quality of life is transformed. She said, it wouldn't mean anything to other people, but I can eat so much more than I could before. I'm not totally healed, but God has done something last week. You see, we don't have to stay where we are. And remember Abraham, it says he grew strong in faith. And I think I've been locked into thinking that you have to stay where you are, but we can grow strong in faith. And if you read the story of Abraham, you see over time he grows strong in faith. Are you ready? Are you ready this morning to change your level? To change your level, I don't know where you put yourself. Are you ready to change your level and move on in faith? And the second thing, the second observation is that the faith we need is fused like faith. What did Mary's faith look like? Well, you notice she finishes the passage and she says, let it be to me according to your word. Let it be to me according to your word. And it has to be a loud, kind of brash, kind of arrogant, commanding kind of thing. And yet this little peasant girl utters a faith-filled sentence that changes the course of human history. I mean, that was great faith. Let it be to me according to your word. And it's interesting because when the disciples got desperate, they were seeing Jesus do all these miracles, and they got desperate at one point, and they said to him, Jesus, grow our faith. Will you grow our faith? And he said to them, if you had faith like a mustard seed, you could say to this tree, innocent tree standing there, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. That's really always interested me, and I don't totally understand it, but one thing I think we can draw from it is that a mustard seed is tiny, and it's not the size of faith that's important, but the quality. There's something about faith that's different to perhaps what we might expect. And Jesus, of course, was in an agricultural society, so he gave an agricultural image. I think if he were in our technological society, he would give a technological image. And I'll tell you what I think he would say. I think he would say, if you had faith like a fuse, you could say to that mulberry tree, be uprooted, plant in the sea, and it would obey you. Faith like a fuse. Why? Because a fuse can conducts the entire power of the power station. You can have this power station generating megawatts of energy, but if this fuse is blown, your TV is off. Your lights are off. Your house is in darkness. If you had faith like a fuse, what does Jesus mean? If you had the conducting faith that conducts the power of God into situations, if you are low in resistance, then God's power can channel through you. See, a fuse doesn't have power in itself, but it channels power. And we need to be those with faith like a fuse. And I've just realised that faith is different perhaps to how I thought it was. And Rob Rufus was speaking in Brighton. He spoke at four sessions. And the end of his third seminar, he'd gone over time. It was the end of the week. And he said, let's just stand and pray. And we begin to pray, and we'd gone over time already. They were all kind of on the time. He got over time and he said, I just can't stop. He said, there is someone here who has got a spirit of suicide and we need to pray for you right now. And I don't know if I ask that question now. And he said, I want you to put your hand up and identify yourself. If I ask that question now, I can imagine even if you did have that, you wouldn't put your hand up, would you? But you know what? This was a room of 600 pastors. And I thought, there is no way anyone is going to respond to this. There's just no way. They're not going to respond. And, so, you know, just for face saving. But Rob just stood there. He said, we're just going to wait. And then two people down from him, this guy just dropped to the floor, groaning. And Rob went over to him with a mic and just said, in Jesus' name, get out of him right now. And this thing just left with a shriek. The guy stood up and Rob said, what happened? He said, it's true. He said, I've been a pastor for years, but I've battled most weeks, sometimes every day, with wanting to commit suicide. It's been a battle, and I've prayed and prayed and prayed. He said, but when you said that word, faith just came, and I knew I was going to be free. Prayed for years, and faith like a fuse came, and he was set free instantly. I mean, it was just incredible. God moved. And as I've been praying for people, I've been looking for this fuse like faith in me. Now I know the difference between trying to work myself up to believe, and when it just comes and you think, I've got it right now, I can pray right now. And that's what we need to be looking for. And I know this is a bit vague, but fuse like faith, I want you to remember that, because that's what we need to be able to, we need to lower our resistance to God so that we can believe for his power to come into all the different, not just for healing, but for spiritual growth, for the lives of our kids, for people we're reaching out to, for money for a building, all of that stuff. We need fuse like faith. And the third thing is that faith comes when we understand who we are. The angel said to Mary, greetings, O favoured one. And it says Mary was a bit peculiar, but she thought the greeting was a bit peculiar. She didn't really understand it. You know, this 15 or 16-year-old peasant girl, favoured one, favoured by God. Who here would say that they are righteous? Anyone? Few people. I read a story of an interview panel. It was interviewing pastors, and they asked each person, they said, are you righteous? And the pastor said, well, no, you know, don't want to say now, but, you know, I'm not really, you know. And they got to the last guy, and they said, are you righteous? And he said, if you mean, am I righteous in Christ? Yes, I am. And they gave him the job, because he's the only one who had any decent theology. Who here? You are righteous. 2 Corinthians 5 says, for our sake, God be sin, even though he knew no sin, so that in Christ we might become the righteousness of God. Christ paid the price so that you could become righteous. That's who you are now, positionally in Christ. Do you ever sin? Yeah, of course you do. But positionally in Christ, you are righteous. And why is that important to know in this issue? Because when you read James 5 and it says the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective, and instead of saying who, you say me. That's me. You see, faith comes when we understand who we are in Christ. Who here is righteous? Yeah, this is why I love preaching the British. Come on, put your hand up. You know, I know it's so difficult. God, who here is righteous? You are right. Some of you still don't believe it. Get your Bibles out and read it at home. We've been changed on the inside. You know, if you look in through Scripture, the words in Christ appear 93 times. In Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. All we have is in Christ. I tell you, you could do a lot worse than go home this week and look through your Bible for in Christ 93. If you email me, I'll send you all 93 occasions where it occurs, and you can memorize them all if you like. You think you are to who you really are right now, which is made righteous in Christ. And you know, when I meet with people to pray about growing in spiritual maturity, often with issues that they've battled with for years, 90% of my time is spent persuading them who they really are. That they do not need to live with this issue anymore, because Christ can set them free, and in fact has set them free on the cross. And I need to generate faith in them. So if you're about to pray with me, do all this beforehand. It saved me a lot of time. Faith begins with, that's not what that's all about, but you know what I mean. Faith begins when we understand who we are, and faith develops by understanding where we are. It says, the angel came to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. You see, Mary was born into a messianic context. Of the house of David means that it was an expectation that the Messiah would come. Mary's faith didn't start when the angel came to her. It started years back when someone said to her as a little girl, one day there's going to be a Messiah. And she believed it when she was a tiny little girl hearing those stories. She was born into a messianic context. She was born into a place. And we need to understand a revelation of where we are. In the Old Testament, there's a story of Jacob, and Jacob's on the run from his brother who's about to murder him, and it's a good idea to run, so he runs for his life, and he's out in the desert, and he lays down to sleep, and he has this dream, and in the dream he sees a ladder coming down from heaven, and angels descending and ascending. And of course, angels descending from God means that they're going out to do God's will, and angels ascending means that they're going back having done it. Job done, what's the next task? And Joseph and Jacob is in this dream, and he's in the place, he's in it, it's all happening around him. And he wakes up and he says, surely this is the house of God, and I didn't even know it. And then you skip forward to the New Testament, and Jesus has a word of knowledge for one of his disciples, and he tells him where he was at a particular time. And Nathanael comes to Jesus and says, you must be the Son of God. And Jesus says this to him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe you will see greater things than these? Truly, I say to you, you will see heaven open, the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. What does Jesus mean? Well, it's clear, isn't it? He's saying to Nathanael, welcome to the house of God. This is where God moves. If you think that's good, you wait. God is on the move, and he moves around me, because this is the house of God. And of course this is relevant to us, because Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am. So you see, if angels were moving around Jacob's house of God, and then they moved around Jesus because he was the house of God, the temple of God, then of course now, by implication, they move around us, because we are the house of God. And the scriptures say that we are the temple of God. And faith comes when we recognize the corporate togetherness of the body of God. The body of Christ brings about God's activity. There's a couple who came to me a number of years ago who were in the church, and their son was 3 years old, and he had an incredible rage problem. And he would, I mean, 3 year olds have a bad temper, get me wrong, but this was something else. And he would spit, he would hit his mother, he would swear, he was just consumed by rage. And sometimes he said, you'd be taking him out, and he would throw himself into a fit. He wasn't epileptic or anything. He would throw himself into a fit, so much so he was rigid, foaming at the mouth, and he'd be on the pavement almost catastrophic, and she could literally pick him up as stiff as a board like that. He was consumed with rage. And they were desperate, and they was breaking their hearts. And so they said to me, will you come and pray? And so we thought, praying about with him when he's awake, and he might hit me anyway. So I thought, well, let's pray for him while he's asleep. So I went over there, and we prayed together. And then we went up to his room, and we laid hands on him together, the three of us. And we put oil on his head. We anointed him with oil, and we prayed, Jesus, will you set this boy free? Because this isn't right. We don't want him to grow up like this. He knows where this is going to end. And you know what? Never happened again. It was just dealt with. It was the corporate faith of the body of God coming together. Something happens. And so I want to stir us that when we come on a Sunday morning, when we meet together as small groups, it's not an individualistic thing anymore. Our faith affects everyone else around us, and we need to come expecting God to move, expecting that when we come and meet together, we enter into the house of God, and God-like stuff will happen. It will break out amongst us, and we all need to come with that expectation. I went to see a famous healing evangelist up in London, and before he uttered a word, the atmosphere in that place was electric. You could cut it with a knife. And I thought, he doesn't have to say a thing and people are going to get healed here. Because the expectation was, God is going to move. And of course, God did move. All he had to do is come, he preached the gospel, and he said, right, there's people getting healed. And they got healed left, right and centre. It's the corporate faith of the people of God. Faith develops when we understand who we are as God's people. Have you understood that? You know, Jesus went to Nazareth, and it says he couldn't do anything there because of their unbelief. And that's the power of this thing. Corporate unbelief can shut even Jesus down from doing stuff. It says he could heal a few people, but that was it. How much more the other way, corporate faith releases the power of God. If we want to see it, I challenge you, let's go to, when we meet together, let's come in faith and expectation. And the fifth point is this: faith matures as we understand who we are with. The angel answered to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you." Mary could draw faith from the fact that it wasn't her generating this. This was God who was with her. And when Moses goes to God and God says to him, go and deliver the people of Israel, he says, who am I to go and do this? That's his first response. I can't do this thing. But God says this in Exodus 3, but I will be with you. So Moses says, who am I? And God says, you're the bloke who God's with. You're the bloke who God is with. Who am I? Well, you're the one who God is with. And when we understand who is with us, the deposit of the Holy Spirit in us, faith grows. When we stop looking at our limitations and start looking at who's walking beside us, who's next to us, into every situation that we go into, faith will grow as we focus on that. And sixthly, faith is received primarily through God's word. Mary said, behold, I'm the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Romans 10 says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing the word of Christ. These two are intertwined. If we want to grow in faith, we have to be people of the word. We have to get it inside of us. Notice it's hearing, not having heard. It's hearing the word. It's fresh. So I think so many of us try to develop faith on stuff that we heard 10 years ago. But I just don't think it works like that. I think it's hearing it. It's something now. There's something living and active about God's word that we need to get into us now. Rob Rufus said this. He said, faith is like vitamin C. You cannot store it in your body. You have to be bringing it in continually and receiving it over and over again. And many of you will have heard of a guy called Alex Lazidis. He's out in South Africa, part of New Frontiers. And he has gone from being someone who, he was just a normal guy in a church, and he now preaches to thousands and sees miracle after miracle. He sees God move incredibly. And I was talking to a friend of mine who'd been with Lex, and he said, I really observed this interesting thing. He said, before he gets up to speak, he's sitting there with all these stack of cards he's got there in front of him. Little, you know those little note cards? He's got a stack of them. He says, and he's flicking through them. And he said, I went over to him and saw what was on his cards. He said, it's just scripture after scripture after scripture. And so I've been doing the same. Every Sunday now, before I come here, I've got a list of scriptures, and I'm just going through them, you know. By his stripes you are healed. Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy. Greater things will you do because I go to the Father. I'm just trying to fill my mind with this stuff so that I come on a Sunday expecting that God is going to break in, because he's promised he would do it. Bill Johnson, who wrote this book, says this: the church does not know how to fight for what God has promised. We need to learn to fight, to come in faith to God. Not like God's resistant, not wanting to do it, but he's wanting a place of faith. Jesus said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? I'd like to say, Lord, you're going to find it here. You're going to find it here. What an example from Mary that we've got, this 15, 16-year-old girl whose faith changed the nation and went on to change the whole world. I guess the question for each of us is, have you grown in faith this year? But you know, forget that. The real question is, will you grow in faith next year? Are you going to stay in the same level, Are you going to step up to what God wants you to be? We need this corporate, fused-like faith. We need to lower our resistance. We need to say, God, if there's anything in me that's resisting you, that's unbelieving, get it out of me, because I want to have low resistance so that you can move through me, so that when I pray into these situations, I can know that things will happen because you have sent me to do your works. Let your kingdom come, God. Let your will be done around us, amongst us. Let's see it happen, shall we? Anyway, that's my Christmas message. Why don't we stand together? Let's just expect God, shall we? Yes, Jesus. Jesus, yeah, we pray. If you want more faith now, if you want to move on a level, if you need to repent of being stuck on the same level, then do it now, because God is here and he wants to move us on as a church. And we say, Lord Jesus, will you come and fill us with faith, Lord? We receive it from you right now. We infuse it into our systems, Lord God. Let us be people of faith. Let us see your kingdom move amongst us. I pray, Lord, for those who have been stuck for years in their own personal lives. It's made them disillusioned. I pray, Lord, let faith come right now, that you can set them free. They don't have to live like that. They're in Christ. And that you can come and bring freedom. Pray for parents here who need faith for their children. People who are in social action who need faith for those that they work with. For all of us, for faith for a building. We say, God, come infuse it in us, Lord God. We want to lower our resistance and believe that you can do what you have promised that you would do. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Receive faith from you right now, Lord. If you just have got an area in your life you think, I just need breakthrough in this area, why don't you just raise your hand high? It's just what I'd love us to do. I don't want to go around and praying for everybody, but I want there to be a corporate response to this. So why don't we just lay hands on one another, shall we, and pray in faith. Let's pray, asking God, keep your hand high. And just if there's someone with a hand up around you, I want you to lay hands on them and pray in faith. You've just asked to receive faith. Now let's pray, asking God to break in and do the miraculous, shall we? John, do you want to just come and play for us while we do that? Let's just pray in faith right now. And you just ask them, hey, what is it I can pray for you for? If that's appropriate, they'll share that. And let's just ask God, God, will you break into this situation? Will you move in our lives? Let's see miracles. We don't just want to hear a sermon, Lord. We want to see miracles here this morning of your power, bringing liberty. You might need healing. You might need a breaking free in an area in your life. You might need provision. Let's just ask God for it now, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, God. If anyone's not being prayed for, stick your hand up high. Yes, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We pray now, Lord God, that you would come and bring faith and bring freedom and bring liberty to us. Someone here who's just been struggling with depression for years, and God is going to set you free today. And I just pray, Lord, that you would come and bring freedom from those who are bound up with depression, just not experiencing anything of the joy of knowing you. I pray, bring freedom right now, Lord God. Couple of ladies over here. If there's some ladies who'd like to come and pray over to my left, you're right. The rest of us, we're going to just sing this chorus again, Ever Faithful God. It's where God is ministering to people. James is going to lead us. Let's just worship together for a moment, then we'll close the service, shall we?
Glory to the King of Ages. Oh, glory to the King of Kings. His name is love. His name is Jesus. Enthroned above in majesty, into this world He came to save us. Upon the cross He took my sin. He shone Your light into my darkness. Unveiled the truth, this mystery. You are my God. You are my Savior. You are the rock on which I stand, ever faithful God. I cling to You in every way. You've shown that You are good. There's no other love compares to You. Forever strong, true, ever faithful God, I cling to You.
Yeah, Lord, we just thank You for what You're doing amongst us right now. Lord, keep on us, Lord. Let us be a people of faith. And I pray, bring freedom and healing to those who are reaching out to You right now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's continue praying for one another. We're going to close the formal part of the service now. If you'd like me to pray for you, I'd really love you to come to the front here and I'll pray for you. Otherwise, we're going to close the formal part of the service. And if you need to go and pick your kids up, you've got about a couple of minutes to go and do that. But if you're particularly sick this morning and would like healing, then I'd love to pray with you. If you want to just make your way to the front here, that'd be great. Thank you.
Searching for Your grace, all my unfailing love, and in the mercy found in You, the Prince of Peace. You are my God. You are my Savior. You are the rock on which I stand. Ever faithful God, I cling to You. In every way You've shown that You are good. There's no other love compares with You. Forever strong, ever true, ever faithful God, I cling to You.